Awesome. Grab your Bible, grab your journal. We are about to spend some time in God's Word. Again, thank you so much for being here. If we have not met before, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I'd love to meet you, hopefully at the after party while we're crushing some milk and cookies. But before we get there, like I said, grab your Bible, grab your journal. We're continuing our series that we're going to be working our way through throughout this school year. We're calling How to Win at High School. How to win at a high school. And specifically, tonight we're going to be dealing with and looking at how to win when it comes to the stress that you feel or experience from the demands, the pressure of your grades, and all the things related to just life in high school in general. We'll specifically be focusing on schoolwork and grades and that type of thing, but I think it applies to your extracurricular activities and everything else that's related to your high school experience. God's Word has something to say for every one of us in this room and listening in the future. So, in my hand, I have my high school report card. Do you guys still get actual report cards? No, right? You go online and look up your grades, right? Yes? Okay, yeah, I wanted to be sure. This is my high school report card, and this report card meant way too much to me when I was in high school. This meant that I was a success based on the numbers that were recorded in here. This meant that I had a future because of the height of or the depth of the numbers, that they were good, that they were high, that they were going to be profitable for me in terms of college or a future or a career. This meant that I was a meaningful contributor to society because I mattered because of the numbers that were in this book. And I imagine that there's some people in this room right now that find their security, their identity, their value, and their worth in the numbers that are on your online grading system right now. And there might be some of you in this room where you could care less about this. And you think school is a waste of time and life would be so much better if we didn't have homework and papers and tests and projects, especially group projects. Life would be so much easier if there wasn't any school. And maybe you find your identity, your security, your value in how you are perceived as someone who rejects academic performance. And maybe for a smaller group of you in the room, your school maybe comes easy to you. And you're not necessarily focused on getting good grades on it, and you kind of get them pretty easily. And so you focus your attention elsewhere. On an organization, an extracurricular activity, a club, a group, a relationship, something else in high school has your attention. And the reason I start there is that I believe that every single one of us in this room, every single one of us that's been in high school, regardless of where you are on that spectrum, caring way too much about your performance and grades and all of those things, or caring way too little, or being focused on something different, if you're truly honest, you would agree that most high schoolers can't shake that feeling of being stressed out, of being anxious, or of being under constant pressure. Most high schoolers, maybe it's you, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's the people around you, your classmates, that if you're truly honest, most of you, even right now, in this moment, you feel exhausted. Maybe even as you're taking notes and hanging with your friends, you're thinking about how late you'll have to stay up tonight to do homework. If you're really honest, most of you are exhausted. Exhausted by the expectations, by the pressure, by the demands of high school. And so if you can relate to anything that I've said so far, I want to show you tonight from God's Word how to win with the stress of high school. And stress just kind of encompasses all those things, right? The demands, the pressure, the anxiety that you experience when it comes to your grades, your schoolwork, or maybe anything else that is a part of your high school experience. God's Word has something to say to you. And wherever you are on your journey of faith, maybe you're checking out church or visiting for the first time and you're not a Christian, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, I think you'll get some helpful advice for how to deal with the stress of high school tonight. And if you are a Christian, I know you'll get some helpful wisdom from God's word to help you win with the stress of high school. So the way we're gonna do it is I'm gonna share with you what I believe from my own experience and from talking to you guys are some of the common responses to the stress, the pressures of high school that I've seen. Some common responses to the stresses of high school. And then I'll share with you how the Bible, God's word that we believe is true, the inspired word of God, how the Bible speaks to those responses. And then later on, we'll wrap up by giving some helpful advice. Hopefully, it'll be helpful to you to help you fight the stress that comes from the demands and the pressures of all things in high school. All right, so common responses, how the Bible speaks to those responses, and just some helpful advice for all of us. So let's start with the first common response to the stress and everything that comes with it in high school. The first common response I want to share with you that you've experienced or maybe you've seen in someone else's life is to respond to the stress, the pressure, and the anxiety with competition or seeking affirmation. Those are a little bit different, but I think kind of fall into the same bucket. And this sentence kind of gives you an idea of what I'm talking about as a common response, a common reaction, and maybe it resonates with you. That maybe some of you believe that the better your grades are, the better you're performing at high school, the better you are than others, and the more you matter. Like you wouldn't ever say this out loud, right? But deep in your heart, in those moments when maybe you're really honest, when the teacher is passing out that assignment or the grades from that test or whatever, and you ask, you know, your friends, oh, like, what'd you get? Really in your heart, sometimes when you're honest, it's because you want to know, how am I doing in comparison to everyone else? How do I measure up? And so the response to the pressure, the grades, the things that you really have to endure and experience is to compete, right? And to see yourself maybe as better than others based on your performance. And don't get me wrong, the pressure to perform is real, right? You got to perform to get into the right school, the culture tells us, and get the right scholarships and get the right opportunities for the future, to have an ideal job, to get the life that you want to live. There's so much pressure that's put on you by the culture, by your peers, by yourselves, maybe by some of your parents, right? So that pressure is real. Some of you run towards competing. How am I doing? Am I better than this person? Let me make sure that I'm not making any mistakes. And maybe some of you are seeking affirmation when faced with the stress and the demands of high school. Are people praising me for my performance? Have you ever thought that or thought something like that? What do people think of me? What do I think of myself? What do these grades, what is my performance in this sport or this organization, what does it say about me? Unfortunately, that is an all too common response, to seek to compete or to seek affirmation and validation as to who you are and your worth based on how you perform, whether it be academically or otherwise in high school. But God's word has a response to that common response. And I want to share with you one verse, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It's a verse that I've tried to memorize over the last several months during Rona, because there's so much truth that is written in it that I think is so valuable and important to every single one of us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, it says this, that Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, he suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. Maybe you've never heard it before. Maybe you've never heard it as clearly as you're hearing it in this moment. God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to live and to die and to raise again from the dead, to be the stand-in for your sin, for your rebellion, for your rejection of all of God's commands. Jesus stood in your place on the cross. He took your punishment so that you wouldn't have to. He died for sinners. Why? To bring you safely home to God, both in this life and in the one to come. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. And so because of what Jesus did, if you have at some point in your life or in this moment tonight, and I hope you do, if you place your faith and trust and you say, God, I love you. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus, and what he did on my behalf, standing in my place, you no longer have to look for your approval and your value and your worth in what grades are in your report card. Because your identity is already set. You are a son or a daughter of God. And so the principle we get from 1 Peter 3:18 to help us with this common response of competition or seeking affirmation is this, is that our identity, our value, and our purpose in life is provided in Christ. Not in how well you do, not in how well you perform, not in how other people perceive you, not in how you perceive yourself. It is already predetermined that you are loved, you are treasured, you are valued, you are God's own precious possession. And nothing in this world can change that if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus. In my pocket, I have a crisp, well, it's not crisp anymore because I have to fold it up, but a $20 bill. Who wants this $20 bill? Of course, who doesn't want money? This $20 bill can't wake up tomorrow and decide, you know what? I'm going to be a $50 bill. Or it won't wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I'm going to take myself down a notch and become a $10 bill. A $20 bill has a predetermined value, right? It may be able to purchase more or less in the future, but that doesn't change the fact that it is a $20 bill. Its value, its worth is predetermined. And way more important than a $20 bill is you. Your value, your worth is predetermined by Christ's loving sacrifice on your behalf. Do you get that? You are his son. You are his daughter. But I want to give this $20 bill to someone. I'm going to give it to Carson. Was that her name? Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on, come grab this from me. Free gift, a free reminder when you're spending this at Chick-fil-A or wherever you're spending it, that this $20 bill's value is fixed. It cannot change, and neither can yours. Congrats. Don't get new friends tonight just because you got $20. All right, let's keep going. So your identity, right? Your identity, your value, your worth is predetermined by Christ. And if you don't know him truly, I beg you, if you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, I pray that you'd do it tonight. You'd make that choice tonight. Here's the second common response that I want to share before I move on into some advice that I think is helpful. The second common response to the stress, the anxiety, the pressure, the demands of high school, academically and otherwise, is resignation. And resignation is just a big word for giving up, stopping, losing hope. And the person in the room or the person who's listening who has responded to the stress of high school with resignation is basically saying to themselves or trying to convince themselves, man, school is a waste of time. I'd rather put my time and my energy into other things. I'm going to call out the guys a little bit here, but I think that this also is relevant for girls. But I do think that there are tons of guys who, in an effort to not seem weak, like they're not getting a concept or working well in a class or in whatever activity that they're in high school, they're like, oh, I hate this. This is such a waste of time. We're never going to use this math equation ever again in my life. What's the point? I'm not doing this homework. Fill in the blank. I think a lot of you guys and girls respond to the stress, to the pressure, by resigning yourself, by giving up. You'd rather that people think you don't care than for them to truly see that you're discouraged, that you're tired, that you're stressed. Or maybe for some of you, like I mentioned before, school comes so easily to you, you don't even think about it, and all your time, all your attention is spent on that sport or that guy or that girl or that activity because you found something else to obsess over. You found something else to put all your time towards. Because maybe you just feel like school and the demands of it are just not worth it. And I think God's word has something to say to you as well. So here's the verse I want to share with you on that. Colossians 3, verse 23. The Apostle Paul, God's servant, is speaking to this group of Christians, and he's encouraging them to live in a certain way. And by extension, he's encouraging you, us, to live in that very same way today in 2020. Colossians 3, verse 23, he says to those people back then and to us today, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Let me read that again. Work willingly at whatever you do. Is school and all the things that go with it included in whatever? You bet it is. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Too often when we think of school and we think of the stress and we think of the anxiety and we resign ourselves to say, hey, I don't care about school. I'm going to put my attention elsewhere. Really, what we're saying is that we're in charge and that we're working for ourselves and that we're working on our schedule. But God's word shows us a different way, that we are not working on our behalf or our peers, or our friends, or our family, or our loved ones, we are working for the Lord. And so that's the principle I want to share with you there. If maybe you're tempted to run towards resignation when it relates to the stress and pressure of high school, we are not working for ourselves. We're not working for our friends, our peers, our culture, our parents, or our future. We are working for the Lord. And elsewhere in God's word, 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, whatever it is, do it all to the glory of God. And when you go back to the beginning of the Bible, that was always God's intent. When he spoke to Adam and Eve and told them to be fruitful and multiply, he also told them to go out and reign over the creation. And part of your job as a high school student in obeying God's command to take dominion over this world is to learn, is to grow, is to discipline yourself, is to work hard in school. We're not working for ourselves or for our peers or our culture or our parents or our future. We're working for the Lord. That book you're reading, that project you're working on, that homework assignment, that paper, that test, wouldn't it be crazy that the next time you sit down to work on it, that you think to yourself, this isn't just to get a grade. This isn't just to pass a class. This isn't just to prepare for my future. I have a chance in this moment working on this test or this quiz or this project to
bring glory to God's name, to work for him. Now that's countercultural.
And so the common responses are competition or affirmation or resignation in response to the stress and the pressure and the demands of high school. And these common responses, they don't ever actually deal with the problem. They might make you feel good in a moment or for a few weeks or whatever it might be, but the problem sometimes continues to get worse. And what you think would bring you relief from your exhaustion and your stress only multiplies it. It's because you're trying to put a Band-Aid over a significant problem in your life that requires way more attention than you're giving it. Here's an illustration, pre-warning of maybe cringeworthy content. So close your eyes if you don't want to see it. At the beginning of Corona, we were at home. This is in March, my wife, Hannah, and I. And she was about to like pour the pasta sauce, marinara sauce, whatever you call it, on the pasta. And she was opening the glass, the jar, and it broke in her hand and slashed her finger, and here's a picture to prove it. Ooh, I know, tough. And so me, as the incredible husband that I am, I was like, you're fine, it's just a little cut. Just put a Band-Aid over it, and tomorrow morning, you know, the skin will stick to it, and it'll be healed, and we can move on with our lives. You can They're like, take the picture down. You can take it down for now. And I'm like, it's okay, it's fine. But it really wasn't. And I convinced her to just put a Band-Aid over it, everything's going to be okay. And then we woke up the next morning, and guess what? The cut had not gotten any better and needed serious medical attention. So she went to the doctor, and here's a picture of her stitched up finger. 4 stitches. So great husband points over here, telling my wife to go to sleep instead of going to the ER to get stitches on her finger. You love to see it. No, you don't. But the point of telling you that is that that's what I think sometimes we do. We all do it. There's a significant problem in our lives, and instead of seriously addressing it and going to the root of the problem, we just put a Band-Aid over it. We're like, it's fine. I'll just compete. I'll just seek affirmation. I'll just say I don't care about school. When really at the heart of it, you don't know who you are, and you don't know who you serve. And so I want to encourage you and leave you with this. If there's one thing you hear tonight, it's this, is that who you are, and who you are and who you serve bring rest. Do you want some rest right now? Who you are, because of what Jesus has done on your behalf, who you are and who you serve, Colossians 3:23, work as if you are serving the Lord. Who you are and who you serve bring rest in the midst of high school stress. Who you are and who you serve bring rest in the midst of high school stress. And so, I hope that resonates, that encourages you, that spurs you on to view schoolwork, to view the demands and the pressure that you may be experiencing in a new way, informed by the gospel and informed by the truth of God's word. And so really quickly, I want to give you a couple of helpful ways that I think would be helpful to you, hopefully, to fight the stress of high school. So I'll just name them and give you a couple thoughts, and then we'll be done. So the first one I want to share with you, the first helpful way to fight the stress that you might be experiencing right now in high school, is to know your limits. Know your limits and reject perfection. This is for the perfectionists in the room like me, who your grades and your academic performance mean too much. Truly, know your limits and reject perfection. You can't be good at everything. You're not going to get an A in every class, in every subject, on every project. It's just not going to happen. As much as you want it to. I wanted to get an A in high school in art. Never happened. I wanted to get an A in French, in Spanish, in Dutch. Yes, lots of languages I took. Never happened. You know what I had to realize or learn to realize? hey, I might get A's in biology or math or different subjects, and that's just what's gonna be. I'm gonna work hard, of course, but I know my limits, and I reject perfection, and you should too. Number two, choose excellence. I just referenced it. That just because you're not necessarily good at some subject or some activity that you're involved in at school doesn't mean you shouldn't try. Excellence honors God, and it inspires others. It motivates others. And so you, I pray that every single one of us chooses excellence. Excellence does not mean perfection. You understand the difference? Excellence honors God, and it inspires others to work hard as well. And the third one is, your time is limited, so limit what you do with your time. Your time is limited, so limit what you do with your time. And here's what I mean by that. Some of you are self-inflicting stress and anxiety in your life because you're not limiting your limited time. Some of you need to time box social media. I know I'm like stepping on territory, but hear me out. Some of you need to put your phone out of your room and do your project or your homework or study or whatever it is, because you might just find that you finish that 6-hour project in 2 hours. Don't knock it till you tried it. Some of you need to look and take an honest assessment of all of the things that you're committed to. You're in this club and in this group and on that team, and you're trying to get all, and you have so much stuff. Some of you are honestly doing too much. And I don't want to tell you what you should quit or what you should stop. I don't even want to tell you to quit or stop. I want to tell you to prayerfully consider your schedule. Ask your parents about it. Talk to your small group. Talk to your community group if you're in one. And ask them to help you decide how to use your limited time, because your time is limited. And you can experience some more freedom from the stress and the pressures of high school. And the last thing I want to encourage you with, it is on the notes, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. If you feel like, man, I work hard, I have a proper view of school, I don't over love it, or I don't like reject it and try to pretend that I'm fine, I'm not chasing competition or affirmation or resignation, I truly believe that I'm pursuing excellence. If that's you, and you're feeling stressed and feeling discouraged right now, I want to encourage you and hopefully refresh you with this truth in Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious. You know why the Apostle Paul is saying that? Because he knows that you get anxious, that I get anxious. And he's saying that when you are anxious, here's what you should do instead. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So what does he say? When you're tempted to be anxious, when you are anxious, when you're stressed, when the pressure and the demands of everything you have to do, the friend groups and the grades and the essays or the SATs or the ACTs and all of the things that you have to do to perform well at, when they all come crumbling on you and you feel an overwhelming burden and you're exhausted, he says, pray. And he says, give thanks. Make those requests known to God. And I love that verse 7 is a guarantee. It's not like God's like, if you pray sometimes and you give thanks to me, sometimes I'll do this and sometimes I won't. Who knows? This is a promise. This is guaranteed. That if you're stressed right now with all that you have going on and your experience in high school, and you run to God and you genuinely pray and share with Him your heart and share that truth with other people in your life, and you thank Him for the provisions He's made for you, that the guaranteed promise of what is going to happen is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's an amazing promise that is at your disposal. So wherever you are on your journey of faith, man, I pray that you would run to God, that you would look to Him, that you'd be defined by who He says you are and by who you work for, Him, and not run towards competition or affirmation or resigning yourself to give up. So man, I labored over this message because I know that this is something so relevant to every single one of you. Who you are and who you serve bring rest in the midst of high school stress. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna sing that song one more time, reminding ourselves of our identity in Christ. Your identity isn't in your grades. It isn't in how you perform. It isn't in how people view you. It isn't in how you view yourself. It is already $20 bill predetermined by Christ. God, I pray for these students that this reality would be true in their lives, that they would reject competition and affirmation and resignation and would run to you, and that they would be reminded of the fact that who they are because of who you are, because of what you've done on their behalf, matters so much more. And because they serve you, they get to experience a different kind of rest. I pray for students that are tired, that they would experience that rest by running to you in prayer and being reminded of who they are. In Jesus' name, amen.